Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in, Daily Editorial number 2. You know, it's interesting. I was talking this morning about me being stuffed up. Jimmy, I don't know if you know this or not, but since you moved back to the Carolinas, honest to God, we have had probably a thousandfold increase in what I would have to call pollen from the trees to make you stuffed up. It's really, really miserable out here. Anyway, nobody really cares about that, I don't think. I mean, they may, but it certainly isn't our purview. But anyway, let me say this. I find the comments to be really interesting. We're going to talk about the Elon Musk situation, which broke just very, very recently here. He did buy Twitter for what was it, $44 billion. Jimmy, I'd like your opinion as to what that will do for or against Twitter, and then I'll give my opinion.
So I think it's going to, there's going to be a lot of support for Elon Musk doing this. In fact, when people found out around April 1st, a little after the April 1st, that he purchased about 9.3%
right.
of Twitter overall, the stock jumped quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so the deal that he cut was basically, hey, I'll go back to that April 1st date. I'll give you a 35% increase in the value for $54.20 a share.
Right.
So that's the deal they cut for $44 billion. So overall for Twitter, for the people that were holding stock in it, it's a good deal. Mm-hmm. That's a good premium, 30-some% premium sure. on. He's taking it private. So investors won't be in there other than the people that he secured financing for this deal. Mm-hmm. There's a potential, I think, for him to make a tremendous amount of money, with advertising shifting. More importantly, I think people are just kind of excited at the opportunity to get free speech back out there and some competition to the tech monopolies
yep.
that control Snapchat, Instagram, YouTube, and all these other platforms and social media platforms like Facebook that have dominated and controlled speech.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's 38% premium for the closing, April 1st closing
yep,
price.
Not a bad
That's
investment.
That's a pretty good deal.
Well, I hope you handle a load of it, Jimmy, is all I can say. I didn't have any of it at all. I was not particularly, never been enthralled with Twitter. Although I will say this, I personally think that of the social media stuff out there that I occasionally take a look at, I would have to say that I'm happy that Musk bought Twitter as you are. Yes, I think he'll make a lot of money on advertising. But I also have to say that I think Twitter is a heck of a lot more sophisticated than Facebook. What do you think about that?
Well, it's a whole different type of platform. So Twitter, you're limited to the number of characters you put in. It's very simple. And of course, then you can, link to ads and comments. Right. But it's very brief. And it used to bother the heck out of me when I was at U.S. Pacific Command that our senior leadership and our government and actually military leaders were beginning to be so concerned about what was on Twitter that they were making decisions based on Twitter. And of course, we saw with the Trump presidency, that's how he reached out and influenced people was through his Twitter feed.
Yep.
I personally think that that is not the way to govern. And I don't think it's the way to make decisions because there's way too much influence out there that shapes a narrative with the Twitter world. And of course, one of the objectives, I think, with Elon Musk is to provide transparency, open the algorithms up of what they're doing and how they're doing it, and allow regular free speech platform, free speech back on the platform.
Yeah.
So, that's the value to that more than anything else is if Twitter, and a lot of people live on it in the elitist world, the journalists and the people, the politicians, they live on it to try to get their word out. If Twitter is allowed to have free speech, then all of a sudden Hunter Biden story back before the 2020 election goes viral.
Right.
The Durham investigation goes viral. What's happening with, Sussman and the Clinton and DNC, the Clinton campaign and the DNC, that stuff goes viral.
Right.
But not only that, it forces the other platforms to allow some of that discussion. So I think there's a great opportunity here. But again, it's a one guy and, you know, a very small group of people that are making decisions for everyone. So you got to be leery about that. Yep. Always.
No, you always have to be leery about that. I agree with you. I think it's a positive direction for Twitter to go in. I think Elon Musk has got some real cojones to make an investment like that, because that really, really had to force him into leveraging, because I don't think he's got a $44 billion just lying around. So he is leveraged pretty good right now at this point, I would have to say. Really exciting to see somebody like Elon Musk come along and really make an effort to attempt to change society for the better. We haven't seen that, and I know a lot of my friends are going to hate me for seeing that, but his predecessor in trying to change society for the better, in my opinion, was Donald J. Trump.
I think Donald Trump was absolutely trying to give the people back their government.
Yeah.
He's a bigger than life character.
Uh-huh.
He has a lot of ego, all those things. But basically he was, you know, he didn't need to do that job. He was doing it because he just got fed up with what was happening under the Obama administration and wanted to get America back on track. That's the way I look at it.
You know, and, I totally agree. Yeah.
And I'm just praying and hoping and praying that more people wake up. I think there are many more that are beginning to realize what's been happening with the silencing of speech with the, you know, controlling information and the amount of leverage and influence the tech companies and the big media corporations have.
Right.
I mean, that's the real problem. I've been saying it for a long time, is the propaganda and the media controlled, the elitist controlled information flow is what's killing individual rights. And it will continue as long as there are people that allow, you know, major political figures like this current regime in charge in the White House. And I'm not even saying Joe Biden, because I don't think he's even cognizant enough to know what's going on. But the people that are trying to, you know, the Jen Psakis and the communications directorate and the Kleins and or Ron Klain, these people that are really like trying to spin their way out of problems.
Yeah.
And it's, if we have that, it's just damaging. And we just lose trust and faith in anything. And, you know, most people right now definitely have little trust in CDC and the federal government, in their military, in anything. So.
Yep. Well, the thing that gives me a certain amount of satisfaction, a hell of a lot of satisfaction, actually, is the fact that pretty much everything you and I have been talking about since you've been the co-host of this show, which has been a couple of years now, has really come to be true. Jimmy, you had spent part of an evening last night with Sean Hannity. How did you find that guy personally?
It was Friday night. It was a dinner. It was a recognition for Ainsley Earhart in South Carolina, because she went to public school here, and it was a recognition. And apparently their date, I don't give it away. I guess it's public knowledge a little bit out there. They try to keep it, keep it quiet.
Right.
And so I got a call. I'm just going to let them know that I'm going to call back in a minute, but sorry about that. But yeah, so we're there at the event, and my wife happened to run into Ainsley Earhart in the evening. And then we went over and sat and talked to him for a little while. And I thought Sean Hannity, it was interesting, because I called him out right up front. First, kind of one of the first comments was after, you know, kind of congratulating him of being the Iron Man of
radio,
news talk radio, right, or talk shows on cable television. I said, yeah, but you messed up on that 72 hours of the Russian would beat Ukraine in the war. And it was kind of funny. And then we got into a good discussion. I thought it was very similar to what he is on TV. And he was very polite, very nice. Ainsley Earhart is absolutely just a wonderful woman.
Good.
Very sweet.
Yeah, great.
And well, so we enjoyed the evening. It was nice.
Good. I'm glad you had a good time. By the way, I want to announce to our local listeners that Jimmy is going to be the featured speaker in August at a Republican convention just right down in Whatcom County, which is just right next door. Skagit County. I get them mixed up. I haven't been here long enough. We'll be talking about that more often in the between now and then, because that is a couple of months away. Jim, always a pleasure. Thanks, bud.
You bet, Al.
To find out more about today's guest visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.